Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
We're back here on Darren Donick and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Willie Donick, Chase McCabe, Marquise Munson here with you today. Darren McFarland on vacation this week. Big doings today as the TSSAA had a big meeting to try to figure out what to do about the fall sports, given the fact that our governor has put out basically a state of emergency. No activities as a result can be done involving contact sports until at least August the 29th. So what do you do about high school football? What about girls soccer? They discussed that today. Before we get to Joe Dubin, who has been paying attention to this, always grew up here, played at McGavick High School, always has had a huge love of high school football. Back in the day, used to have a great Friday night show that Chase was a big part of, that did all of the scores. And, of course, if you watch him, he has always covered high school sports in a big, big way. But, Chase, who is the winner of our contest? Are we going with the Matthew Lombardi submission?
We are.
For our winner of worst deal?
Yes, Al from Smyrna, and he came in under the wire too. So Matthew Lombardi, that one played. He really did. He played like four quarters, a game and a period, and got hurt, and never played for the Preds again. So that's a good one. So Al from Smyrna wins.
All right, Al, thank you very much. So let's begin. Let's bring in Big Joe on the go.
Joe,
welcome to the show. Good to have you
on. It's good to be back,
course,
on, boys. Thank you very much. Willie, it's good to hear your voice. And yes. Chaser, it's always good to hear you, buddy.
Thank you so much. I have enjoyed I've enjoyed watching you and Beasley in the mornings. That has been just fantastic and so entertaining. Justin Beasley growing up before our very eyes.
Chase, you haven't seen 6 o'clock in the morning in probably 15 years, but I appreciate you though. But for doing that.
No, but I've seen Twitter.
Oh gosh.
Yeah, have you recovered, Joe, from the spill you took at the bounce, or one of those bouncy places where you tried to leap over the obstacle and you had the legs taken out?
Well, the thing is, you're trying to time it and you got a producer talking to you and you're trying to get it correct to go to the break, and then I just misjudged my jump and then my left foot hit the backside of the little bullseye thing they got and I went straight down. And but you know what? If you watch the tape, I held onto the microphone. So I'd have been a good running back back in the day. I held on to the most important thing that I had was the microphone. But those things are fun, man. So, the second we stop being a kid is the second we stop living, right?
Well, there's no question about it. Joe Dubin from Channel 4 with us here. And so, Joe, as we mentioned, you've always been a big champion for high school athletes. And being a kid, as you mentioned, this is such an important thing that everybody's paying attention to for all these high school athletes out there. What did you take out of, in general, what was discussed today under the circumstances, trying to do the best they can to get this season in?
Let me tell you what, I loved it. Because what they've done, they've given everybody hope. There was not always things, we're going to flip-flop the spring schedule, or we're going to cancel everything. They've given people hope, man, and they could postpone it, they could push it. That's fantastic because the dead period ends this weekend. Guys will start practicing next week. So remember, there's no 7-on-7, no contact, but you can still do weightlifting. You still can do conditioning. If you ask any coach around, and I've talked to a lot of them, it's about being with the boys. It's about having them back under, being around them, being in the environment. We've all spent time in locker rooms. You know how great of an environment that can be when it's really good with these guys. So we've got hope. I mean, there are three scenarios for the high school football season. The first, and I like them all. Again, I'm going to mention the word hope the entire time because it's given everybody hope. The first one is the first proposal. There's three of them. Was a 7-game season, and then you have a full 5-week playoff. Now this is being pushed back to mid-September, like September the 18th, that weekend. It's supposed to start August 21st. You're just pushing it back a month. So you'd start in September. You'd have 7-game season, full 5-week playoff. You'd be pushed things back just a little bit. That's fine. The second proposal, 8-game season, 4 weeks of the playoff, and you drop the first round of the playoff. I don't mind that either because, again, it's given us hope. I love this last proposal, though. You have a 9-game season, and you have 3 weeks of the playoff. Only the region champion gets into the playoffs. Now, for all of us that grew up here in Middle Tennessee and played sports, this is how it used to be. You did not become the number 4 team and get in. You had to win your district to get into the playoffs. That meant every game that you played was valuable. So, if this scenario, the last one, 9 games, you're still, if you go 0-9, you go 0-9, you still play the 2 extra games instead of the 7 games. So, you fight every Friday night for that right to get to the playoffs. I like that scenario. But again, they just pushed it back. They did not postpone it. I mean, they did not cancel it, which I love. But these 3 scenarios, I like the third one, the 9-game season, 3 weeks of the playoff, and then region champions only advance. That's the way I like it.
Yeah, we almost kicked around our own little debate on it today, Joe. And I think Bernard Childress today, correct me if I'm wrong, he presented it to everybody and he said, I don't want you to vote on it today. I want you to process it. You're just hearing this for the first time, all of the options there that you laid out. And so I guess they'll reconvene and then decide which way to go.
Yeah, he's going to talk to the governor's office because I think the governor had to extend the emergency stay, and I understand all that. And that's kind of a big blanket with what he did with that. So to get to the governor and say, all right, let's make a few exceptions on the way, maybe high school football and the fall sports, we can make an exception for this and start a little bit back on. Whatever they do now is great, but again, Bernard Childress, these guys did a great job. I'm so thankful the 9 people there on the TAA board, they're willing to listen to all these proposals and grant those kind of 3 what they have, the proposals right now to look into. They're not going to cancel, which I love. Again, so they can talk to the governor's office, see if they can figure something out. If the governor's office says, you know what, we're going to keep it the way it is, that's fine too, guys, because then we'll vote on the three proposals and figure this out. And then we'll go from there. So there's a lot of pessimism this morning as I followed Tom Crager a lot on this stuff. We talk constantly about high school football, and I like it. I was really afraid they're going to say, you know what, we're just going to cancel it, be done with it. But I like this. We'll talk to the governor's office. Even again, if the governor's office says we're going to keep it the way it is, that's fine. That's fine because these guys can still have weightlifting. They still have conditioning that's coming up. They're still together as a team, and they're still, that's allowed. And then we'll figure out how it goes down the road. So I like what we got right now.
So, Joe, just quickly, too, on sports not related to high school football here, some of the sports, golf, cross-country, and volleyball, will be able to play as scheduled, correct?
That's what I'm gathering, yeah. So now it's the pushback of girls' soccer and of football for right now. But, you know, this all could change tomorrow, this afternoon, whatever. But as of right now, you're correct, Willie.
Right. And the girls' soccer has been pushed back. They're going to try and give teams the opportunity to reschedule games that can't be played. I believe, though, that if I heard this correct, they can still do some workouts if the protocols are met. So hopefully they can start playing the games as soon as they get the green light to play around September the 1st. But hopefully they'll be able to make the measures to get those games in as well, because obviously there's great girls soccer in our area.
Oh, girls soccer is huge, and it's absolutely. And that's the thing is that with girls soccer, if they push it back to the spring, I know it runs into a lot of problems with the boys soccer, but still, you're still playing. Those kids are still in school, and that's the thing. That's what I hated, really, so bad about what happened in the spring are these kids who played softball and baseball. They lost their senior season, and I hated it for them. But for girls soccer, they push it back to the spring, they still get to play. So that's a good thing with this. So I'm happy with that. I hope they can play in the fall. They push it back to spring. That's okay, too. You feel bad for the seniors who just left, their softball, and even the teams that went to the state basketball tournament did not get to finish. But at least this way with girls soccer, if they postpone it, they could play in the spring.
Big Joe Dubin from WSMV Channel 4, News 4, still getting used to that, here with us on ESPN 102.5 The Game. So, okay, you've got me – because when we talked about these 3 scenarios earlier, you know, I didn't necessarily love scenario 3, but then you reminded me you're right. That is how it used to be. And I'm not one of those that says, okay, well, everybody gets a trophy, everybody gets in. Because how many times on the game blitz do we talk about a 2 or 3 win team getting into the playoffs, and we had those coaches on that said they hated it, but they didn't like that. So I'm not necessarily saying that of having that, but I guess I've gotten used to having some wild cards in there as well. So, but yeah, you do
and,
have
and
me
those
thinking.
Teams can, under this scenario could play two additional games. I really like that idea. That might be a better experience for those kids.
Oh, I totally agree. I mean, if you look at the first scenario, where it's a 7-game season, full 5-week playoff. You know, some of those teams won't get in the playoffs, and the season's over. But this 9-game, I mean, this is why I love college football so much, because every game on a Saturday matters, right? The Titans could go 9-7, still get in the playoffs, no big deal. But in college football, you lose two games for the most part, you're done, you're out of it. That's why every game is important. In this third scenario with the 9-game season, every game's important. That was how it was back in the day. If you had to win your district to get to the playoffs, and everybody knew if you came in second, well, you should have come in first because you're not going to go to the playoffs. So I like this. And plus, it gets the other two games going. Now, not everybody's going to make the playoffs, obviously, but you get the two extra games. So I like that scenario more than any other scenario that's out there. And again, hope. We've got hope that the season's going to be played. They push it back a month. That's okay. And then, you know, Cookville does a wonderful – some question was about that Bernard Childress brought up about, you know, will we have enough volunteers in Cookville in late December to pull this – hell, I'll go up there and do – I'll volunteer. As long as these kids get a chance to get on the field and perform, I'm all for it. And that's what I like about this.
Yeah, and here's the other aspect of this because this is why I didn't like, you know, swapping with spring or moving it to February, because – recruiting is a thing, and you have to consider that of a lot of these guys probably won't play at the next level, but some of them will. And we've talked about a lot of big names over the years, Joe, of their senior season means everything. And the difference between, you know, going to big school to a small school or what have you. So that's why I think this is important too, of trying to get this in during the fall, because then you're staying in the normal recruiting cycle with college football.
I totally agree with you. You keep it even the norm. You're playing football in September, October. And look, here's another thing. I'm not a fan of high school football in mid-August because it's 1,000 degrees, right? I'm selfish that way. So I don't mind pushing it back just a little bit because you get out of kind of the massive heat that's happening there and you play that way. And maybe this is something they do going forward. I mean, I'd love, you know, a late Saturday in Cookville in December to have the high school football championships and play it through the first week of December. And, you know, other states, I think Georgia has theirs in mid-December. You know, we do ours the first weekend of December. So other states do this as well, which is fine. I like the fact that there's these different proposals out there, scenarios. They've done their homework. Obviously, they've got input from high school coaches around the area, and those are the ones that know this. And so hopefully we can keep these kids safe, kind of put the virus a little bit behind us. They give us now 60 more days to kind of figure things out a little bit and make sure everything's okay, everything's safe, and we can go forward with this.
Have you looked at this from two aspects? Of one, that you've been a huge supporter of high school football. You love high school football, a media member, but you're also a parent. I mean, your son he's not to high school yet, but he plays football, plays middle school football. Have you tried to balance of looking at it from both ways?
That's great. That's Chase. That might be the best question you've ever had. So rack that up, Marquise. Take that down. you're right, because I am selfish, because I love high school football and what it did for me and what it meant for me, what it means for a lot of people. Now my son is now approaching that too, and I've seen the excitement and the disappointment and getting yelled at by coaches and everything that goes through the emotions of playing a sport. And I love it for him, and I love it for these kids. So yes, I want these guys to play, and I understand it's got to be done safely, and I understand that. And high school football is a big part of our lives, man. We all love it. We all remember Friday nights going back. And so we do this safely. We get it done. And as a parent also, you know, I want it to be done safely too as well. Make sure everything is covered and all the protocols are met going forward. So, yeah, it's a thing of like, let's do this, but at the same time, wait. Make sure my son's safe, everybody's safe, and then let's do it that way. So, yeah, it's a kind of a two-pronged attack on that. But, again, I see it, the positive on both sides. I was not – at 10 o'clock this morning when they had that meeting started, I was prepared for the worst, for these kids, for these coaches, just the heartbreak. They're working so hard and everything. But now those three proposals roll out, I feel much, much better. And again, I want to applaud the TSSAA and Mr. Childress and all them for putting these scenarios on the table, working with the governor's office, make sure everything is covered, and let's have some football this fall.
Joe, good to talk to you. Thanks a lot for giving us your perspective, having followed that meeting this morning. And we'll keep our fingers crossed like everybody else and everything else, right, that we can get these games in, especially for these kids.
Absolutely, boys. Thank you. Anytime. I appreciate it.
Thanks, JoJo.
All right. Joe Dubin, Channel 4. Of course, longtime follower of high school sports in this area. Of course, former co-worker of ours here on the game. One of the originals, right,
yeah,
on the game back in the day. We're coming up on that anniversary, aren't we?
We are. We are
coming
end
up
of August.
On that? Yeah.
Yeah,
August 2011.
29th,
end of August,
yeah.
Yeah,
because not you and I away. I started as an intern like a week after you signed on with Joe with our afternoon show, The Sports Revolution. Joe had been doing the Joe Dubin podcast leading into like 2 o'clock, I guess it was. But then you and Joe did The Sports Revolution, and I was an intern on that show, and now look at me. The rest, as they say, is history. But working with you and Joe at the beginning was a lot of fun.
So once again, here's in a nutshell what the meeting was today. Basically, with contact sports, there will be no games played prior to August 29th. So for specifically girls soccer and football, you can't play games. It's gonna mess with the schedule there, because normally there would be games played in August for those two sports, and those are contact sports. Cross country on the boys and girls side, golf, boys and girls, and volleyball will be played as scheduled for now. So what they're trying to do is compress the schedule for high school girls soccer. Remember, the boys play in the spring, so they're not affected by this yet. They can practice, but they can't play games until after August 29th, as it stands right now. They're hoping to be able to give the coaches enough time to reschedule games that would be otherwise played in August. So now we get to the football, where the proposal would be that you would practice for 3 weeks. And as Joe said, listen, we've talked about some serious heat issues that have gone on.
Yep.
In our area, as each year passes by, it seems like it gets hotter. That's not the worst thing in the world, to not be practicing in August. And so it might be a little bit cooler by then. And then you would start the season on September the 18th. Now, you would have to compress it in some form. So they have three proposals where you would play a revamped 7-game season and keep the regular 32-game postseason in each classification. That's proposal A. Proposal B would be you would play 8 games in the regular season, then take away the first round of the playoffs, and you would have a 16-team bracket. And then the proposal C would be you play 9 regular season games, only the region champions advance to the postseason, and you have an 8-team postseason bracket. And then you would have measures for teams who don't make the postseason to be able to play 2 additional games in scenarios A and B. You could, you know, just have 2 extra games on the schedule that you would play, which I think could be a really cool thing. They have to work it out with Cookeville on, you know, making sure the venue is ready and prepared if they have to change the date there. But Chase, I like proposal B myself. I like the 8 games where, you know, teams could grab a couple extra games in there that didn't make the postseason. And I think 16 teams in each classification is more than enough to have a good playoff.
Yeah, because I never have like 32. But Joe did get me thinking on 3, but I still tend to be with you, and I lean towards 2. So I will say this: if they go with that, if you know, especially 2 or 3, but really any of them, that's a positive, because that means they're playing. That means they're playing high school football. So I like that they have. I like that they have these proposals in place, and that hopefully they will figure it out and be able to play some high school football, because as Joe was saying, we all know how important that it is, and how it's a big part of our community.
All right. Give me the news on Nashville SC before we wrap it up and get ready for Chris Mason at 1.
So Kayla Anderson of News 2 tweeted this out that, and she was quote tweeting Sam Steiskel, who covers soccer for The Athletic. Nashville, which was supposed to travel to Orlando today, has pushed its flight to tomorrow, according to multiple sources. Club had a positive test on Tuesday. The positive still needs to be confirmed with a follow-up. And, of course, they're scheduled to play Chicago on July the 8th. So Nashville SC was supposed to leave today. Looks like it'll now be tomorrow.
Well, let's just hope that there's not any further delays with that. And, boy, you always hope for good news with that. So good stuff.
Yep.
We'll take a break. When we come back, Chris Mason will join us. We'll talk a little hockey. The Predators are actually on the ice right now. The first day of practice in the workouts leading up to the official beginning of training camp, hopefully, on July the 10th. Stay tuned. We'll tell you more about it in just a moment. This is ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. The rush of racing? Nothing beats it. But Chumba Casino comes close. Chumba's got fast spins, fun games, daily bonuses, and all the action you can handle. Now that's a ride. Ready to hit the throttle? Get in the driver's seat and head to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.